I've seen it happen a lot in prophetic circles with people who actually have some level of accuracy, but they're not really consecrated.
What is exactly a Jezebel spirit?
It's an enchanting spirit. It's rooted in the camp of witchcraft. It's a seducing spirit. It's a dominating spirit. Now, it's a broad-based term. Let me just say this, that I believe when we're dealing with that subject, we're dealing with a class of demons. So what do I mean? I don't mean there's one spirit alone. That's the only, this one demon is the only Jezebel spirit. You know, we can see in the Old Testament, we can see the person Jezebel. We can see in scripture, the queen of heaven, which I believe to be a manifestation of the Jezebel spirit. We can then see the Jezebel spirit mentioned in the book of Revelations. So I believe it's a type, a principality level type of spirit. Mm-hmm. And it operates primarily through seduction, control, and witchcraft. Now, when we deal with witchcraft, there are two sort of arms of this. We could break it down. There's the arm of the flesh witchcraft, which would say, you know, I want John to do whatever for me. I want John to feature me in charisma. And so I'm going to do everything I can to influence his decision to do that, bypassing what God is saying or God is speaking and me exerting my own human will to manipulate and control. And there is a type of witchcraft rooted in rebellion, which says, I won't submit to the will of God. I won't honor godly authority. I want what I want and I want it now, that operates through a very fleshly type of witchcraft. This is not doing seances and incantations and spells. Then there's a type of witchcraft, which indeed incorporates that supernatural arm of witchcraft. And the Jezebel spirit sort of covers both of those areas. And when we see this spirit operational in church settings in Christianity, it's definitely not female-based, gender-based. We kind of get that from the character Jezebel in the Bible, but we know that spirits can impact and influence men and women. I don't believe it only if we're dealing with a local congregation. It's not only something that will affect a congregant, can definitely affect a leader. There can be leaders who are Jezebelic. Classic Jezebel is usurping authority. In other words, I don't really have the authority at this level, but I want it. So I'm going to begin to try to penetrate the power structure there. That can happen through seduction. That can happen through false and ulterior motives. I've seen it happen a lot in prophetic circles with people who actually have some level of accuracy, but they're not really consecrated. In other words, they're not getting it from Jesus Christ. They're getting it from familiar spirits, a prophetic gift that's maybe not been brought under the blood of Jesus and refined. And so they're prophesying, but they have an ulterior motive. And we can see in the Old Testament, Jezebel had false prophets at her table. So that the reason I sort of reference that particular spirit, always when you have prophetic people and you have prophetic moves and activities, that's one of the spirits that's always going to entangle itself there. And the goal is to bring an impurity in the prophetic and sort of break down godly authority.
There's so much there. And as you were talking about this, you know, Jezebel had these false prophets with her. What is the benefit of having a known false prophet on your side?
Well, you know, I think that a known false prophet can potentially endorse your agenda through impure displays of power. And honestly, if I'm speaking transparently, I believe we're really seeing that unfold in our day. I want to just say this. I'm 100% pro-prophetic, fivefold ministry, charismatic Christianity. That's the arm of Christianity that really has changed my life. And I've given most of my adult life to trying to nurture and foster that. But when people can give you detailed information about your life, when they can identify where you're at emotionally or a season you're going through, especially if you're in a vulnerable place, that can really speak to your heart. So the reason why Jezebel likes having those type of associates, that gifting can gather together people through what I would just call impure prophetic activities and sort of bring them into the camp and say, hey, this over here is all right. Another thing I think about false prophets, particularly that is challenging and disturbing, is that a lot of times it's not just what they prophesy or say. A lot of times it can also be what they're teaching and demonstrating, because in the seductive arena, if it, you know, we are the sum total of our belief systems. And that just is what it is. You know, we got saved because we believed somewhere along the way Jesus was the way, the truth, and life. And then we responded to that belief. So as we're growing in God, our belief systems are constantly coming into a place of inspection and reformation by God, by His Word, by Holy Spirit. What false prophets can do is teach false belief systems, which then get you stuck in an area where God can't really move the way He wants to. So for Jezebel, I think it reinforces the power structure that that spirit will create.
And the other spirit that you mentioned is the religious spirit. Mm. And those are Jezebel and the religious spirit seem to go hand in hand in a lot of ways. You know, the religious spirit, whenever I think about it, it is more condemnation as opposed to conviction. And there's not really a way that you can ever attain. And you're always striving and striving. Let's dive more into what that is and how to deal with it.
I think if there's any negativity to the charismatic, fivefold, activated continuation branch of the body of Christ, you just kind of have touched on it, which is this sort of thought that, you know, I'm in the constant struggle of becoming and not operating from a place of sonship. And that's what the religious spirit is really, really good at doing. It's really good at bringing shame and condemnation. And I think that as we've learned about different functions and different identities, all too often we have sort of identified ourselves through our function. What do I mean? If I see myself as an intercessor, that becomes the pinnacle of who I am. So I don't really know, or I'm not aware of sort of my submission to the Father, of sonship, which my provision comes from, my protection comes from. If I'm going through an illness that I don't know, man, I'm praying for healing, but I'm not really seeing it and I'm struggling here. All of that can get clouded, and that religious spirit will sort of stick you with, you are as good as what you do. And I think if you look at the teachings of the Apostle Paul, we did in our church, we did an in-depth for months Bible study, the book of Ephesians. We had to actually kind of just summarize at the end because we were never going to get through it. But over and over, Paul just keeps on continually reinforcing this idea of the gospel of grace, that at the end of the day, all we are, all we ever will be in the kingdom of God is hinged upon the grace of God. It's that elementary principle that God so loved the world that He gave Jesus, and Jesus died for us. And that's the sum total of our faith. The problem with the religious spirit, as you've said, it gets you stuck in works. Also, to be prophetic in nature, to be spirit-led, according to Romans 8:14, means a continual progression and journey into the heart of God, the truth of God. It means that you may have understood a certain scripture one way 5 years ago, and as you've pondered it, reflected on it, and Holy Spirit has revealed more to you, your understanding has now expanded or increased or evolved or changed because you're constantly being discipled by Jesus and those He's put in your life. What the religious spirit does is just, no, we're just camped out here. It's this way or no other way. You know, you got to work hard enough. You got to be right with God. And if you're not, then boom, it's over for you. And it really will stifle the move of God. I think anytime you see the prophetic, you see a revival-minded people, you see a people that's moving with God, you're going to see attacks from the religious spirit. I like to use the passage in Acts 14, where there's revival in Iconium, the multitude of believers are being added, but it ends up saying the city was divided. And they were divided because there was a segment of the population that was digging in their heels to say, this is not how we've always done it. And I think anytime we get there, we are not available for the move of God personally or corporately.